And later this week, we'll get a look at the jobs picture in the U.S. when the government releases its monthly employment report. The jobless rate today is at its lowest level in 7 years, but wages for workers have been stagnant. And even though many companies are not increasing salaries, some are adding other benefits. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic, and he joins us now from New York. Derek, welcome back.
Hello, good to be here.
Well, first of all, it feels like every time we have this conversation about the employment picture in America, we talk about how flat wages have been. So if you can just start out by reminding us how flat they actually are.
I think glacial is the word that comes to mind, not only because a glacier grows slowly, but also because thousands of years later it leaves the land extremely flat. And that's basically the current landscape of wages. It's somewhere between growing very slowly and entirely flat. And there are a variety of ways to measure exactly America's paycheck, but here's one according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The average hourly wage today is about $25. 6 years ago, at the beginning of the recovery, it was $24.66 in 2009. So we're talking about an hourly raise over 6 years of about 4 dimes.
Wow. Why? I mean, if you look at the unemployment picture right now, 5.1%. So what's going on?
This is the central mystery of the current recovery. It's that jobs are growing and paychecks aren't. So let me try to sum it up with 3 big factors. The first factor is that there are a lot of workers on the sidelines, people who have given up looking for work, people who are working part-time right now, but they want to work full-time. It's what economists call shadow unemployment, shadow unemployment. It doesn't show up in the official bright, clear as day unemployment rate, which everybody sees on the front page of their newspaper. But it's a reflection of the fact that because of the Great Recession and globalization and maybe even technology and government inaction, the labor market is just not as healthy as it appears. The second, you have what economists call the atomization of the American workplace, the use of these part-timers and these temp workers and contractors and subcontractors. And it elevates the rate of not quite full-time work. And then finally, there's this interesting theory that wages have flatlined because benefits, health care, payroll taxes, and others are, in fact, cutting in to wages.
All right, let's talk about that. What are companies offering to their employers if they can't give them a bigger paycheck?
The Wall Street Journal has a great piece on this today, and they list benefits as follows. They say it includes more time off, vacation time, flexible schedules, matching 401ks, subsidized commuting, and then the more obvious ones of bonuses and health insurance. For some companies, of course, this extends into more exotic fare like office snacks. I believe that this theory is probably true, but not for every single company. I think it's probably concentrated in a handful of upper middle class jobs, tech work, white collar work. I think that the problem right now, for example, with fast food work and retail work is not exactly the issue with benefits. It's more the issue with the labor force. But I do think this is a factor for why we're not seeing a lot of wage growth, even in these companies that by outward perspective seem to be doing fabulous. Well.
But Derek, it's not like benefits don't cost money. I mean, in some cases, benefits, if you add it on to a wage package, is 30% of a salary. So what is the benefit to the employers that they would want to do this?
That's exactly right. What you're seeing is total compensation growing, but more of the non-wage compensation growing rather than the take-home pay. From the employer's perspective, it's just easier to offer a one-time signing bonus than to offer a higher salary because you can take that away or not offer it the next year. Wages, salaries, these things are sticky. It's a terrible blow to confidence when an employer says, we're not going to pay you $50,000 this year. We're paying you $45,000. That feels like a slap in the face. It doesn't quite feel like a slap in the face, however, if they say we're going to take away a day of vacation time or no more morning bagels. This doesn't have quite the same emotional scars.
Well, now we live in a world, in a work world, where these things might be attractive to us. So we want to work from home. We want a gym membership as a part of our package. So are the employees who get these benefits satisfied with subbing out a wage increase with better benefits?
I think this is one of those where if you ask, if you poll people and ask, do you want vacation time? Do you want health care? Do you want matching 401k? Would you like bagels in the morning? The answer you're going to see is yes. Then if you ask, do you want rising pay? The answer you're also going to see is yes. And it can be difficult sometimes to remember that a lot of this pay is coming out of the same pot, the compensation pot. I think that, you know, one thing, it is reasonable, however, I don't think it's hypocritical. I think it's reasonable to say that we want a certain amount of benefits that make working conditions humane and fun and help raise productivity by allowing people to take family time and vacation time. But at the same time, it's important to have consistently rising wages. That's a sign of a well-functioning economy.
And Derek, we don't have a lot of time here, but at some point salaries will need to go up if we're living in a healthy economy, right? So what will it take for businesses to move that direction?
Two ways to think of it, pressure from above and pressure from below. Pressure from above is the government or other policy groups saying raise the minimum wage, raise salaries, and that has been successful in some protests and some movements. And then pressure from below, that is just more economic growth, more job growth, which will put pressure on wages to finally rise.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thank you.
Thank you.